Hey Ding Dongs, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
And this is Explain It to Jamie, the political comedy podcast in which I, Jamie, a politically innocent but curious young man, have the complicated political happenings of the world explained to me by my politically savvy friend, Richard Lamb.
Yeah, politically savvy, but you know, I still make mistakes too, folks. In fact, we had a friend of the show, Marin Carr Wigan, drop us a line this week to inform me that I incorrectly pronounced the word segue on one of the episodes last week.
You did?
Yeah, I said Sieg.
Sieg?
Because this word, this is what happens. I'm a reading kid, right? I learned a lot of words by reading them and never ever hearing them pronounced out loud.
So humble brag.
The word S-E-G-U-E is pronounced segue.
That's funny, because when I was a kid, I pronounced it segue.
Yeah. Like, how, yeah. What the fuck laws of our language says that that should be pronounced segue?
Well, technically, it's a French word.
I'm speechless. you rendered me speechless.
So let's not,
I have no response
to
that.
Let's not point our attention too firmly on, yeah, on the English. They've done plenty of fucked up language things.
Yeah, that's right.
But this one belongs solely in the court of the French.
Also, I blame the Segway scooter for destroying. Like, I thought that where you say Segway is S-E-G-W-A-Y, but that's like the idiot version of that word. And so I'm a fucking musician, and in my head I was always reading that word Sieg.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, Marin, who is, you know, has librarian blood in her.
It has always bugged me the way they spelt Segway as in the, like, the fun vehicle, because, like, way, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess a vehicle goes away, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But what the fuck
is a seg?
Is a seg.
Yeah.
It's the Segway. It's what, like, is it, Richard?
I don't know. Maybe it's like, it's like pointing the way to the Screen Actors Guild office. Yeah. It's like the Segway. Or, you know, in a way, the slow and inevitable march of time where our bodies begin to deteriorate is also the Segway.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been another great episode.
Jamie. My breasts will droop one day, everyone. You heard it here first.
Oh, we'll all droop.
Okay.
And then we'll turn to a quintessence of dust.
I see what you did there, Captain Shakespeare.
Thank you all.
Look at Jamie all linguistic as fuck today.
Yeah. This episode, guys, is dedicated to a very... And speaking of words, this is a very hot topic word that's getting thrown around on the internet a lot lately. And we figured we should probably cover this concept so as to shine some light into the darker crevices of the internet. Impeachment.
That's right. Impeachment, ladies and gentlemen.
Impeachment.
So, Jamie, why do you want to know about impeachment?
Well, okay. As I understand impeachment... it's popping up, you know, as sort of is our way. It's become a real buzzword. It's a hot topic on social media. Everyone wants Donald Trump impeached. Mm-hmm. And as far as I understand impeachment, I think a lot of people have most of it right, but probably not all of it.
Right.
Yes. So I'd like to help clarify that for myself, as well as everyone else who rightfully thinks that Donald Trump should be shot out of a cannon into a volcano.
Yeah. Well,
which is what
that's what happens. Yeah, that's what happens. That's right. Yeah. Impeachment is actually a tiny little devil. Like, he's like an imp. He's like an imp, and they, if a president is impeached, then he has to, like, ride with the imp on his back. Like, kind of like the albatross. It's like a mark of shame.
Right, right.
No, we'll get into all this. It's one of those things that everyone thinks they know what it is, but actually they're almost certainly you don't know what it is if
right.
You're not 100% sure you know what it is.
Right, right.
So it's good that we're getting into it. It's good that we're going to talk about, like, how it's happened in the past, what needs to happen in order for it to happen, and how it could possibly happen in the future. So that's what we'll be covering into today. So
sounds
prepare
great.
Your blood sacrifices to the imp of impeachment if you're listening along at home, and let's slit
Richard,
this lamb's throat.
Do you see that coming down the way? Why, it's the theme song. Here it comes! Just narrowly missed us there.
Wow. Good thing we had this portable blimp. We just inflated and sailed away in.
Yep. So, impeachment.
So, Jamie, what do you know about impeachment?
Okay. There is a... there is a delicious popsicle vendor in Atlanta, Georgia, called the King of Pops, and he makes gourmet popsicles, like things like sea salt and chocolate, or like basil and lime, like crazy flavors. And impeachment is one of his flavors, which is good old Georgia peaches, and of course, mint. Is impeachment a popsicle?
That's right. And if Donald Trump is impeached, that means that the Senate Majority Leader takes him out onto the back porch of the White House on a hot day, and if Donald Trump has done his homework just right and has said all of his prayers, the Senate Majority Leader sits him in a rocking chair, does his tie-up real nice, and hands him a cool popsicle, and Donald is allowed to rock in the chair for 10 minutes eating the popsicle if he's been a good boy.
Also, I just want to say that that is a pretty damn inside and cool hipster Atlanta reference. So if you're from Atlanta and you heard that and you just had your mind blown that I, a Toronto boy, like made that specific a reference... Throw us a retweet.
Jamie's a fucking globetrotter, everybody.
Yeah, baby, I get around.
Don't mistake yourselves here.
Mm-mm. So, Richard.
He's like Jason Derulo, if you know what I mean.
Did he sing that Dynamite song?
I actually don't know. That's embarrassing.
Dynamite.
No, I don't think that's him. He's saying, what the fuck is the one? Talk Dirty. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Talk dirty to me.
Yeah. Because it's all about
talking dirty
and sleeping with women in many different regions of the world.
Cool. So, Richard.
Yes.
Impeachment is probably not only a popsicle popular in the southern states.
No, it's not. Impeachment, Jamie. Okay, so. No, so, impeachment, starting from square one, most people understand on some level that impeachment is the process by which the president is no longer the president. It's like the mechanism available in the U.S. government to get rid of a president, right? And that's kind of where most people's knowledge of it ends. In truth, it's actually like a fairly involved multi-step process of which impeachment is only one aspect.
Sure.
Like, okay, so how to describe this best?
Well, I would imagine that, like, you don't want it to be super easy to get rid of the president.
No, it's very difficult to get rid of the president. Yeah. Very difficult. And impeachment is only the first part of the process. So, basically, impeachment, when a president is impeached, it basically means Congress has decided there's enough evidence to have a trial. It means they're accusing the president of a crime.
It's like, I'm going to go out on a bit of a limb here. It's like a subpoena, sort of, right? Like, it's like the court's saying, you're impeached. That means we have,
it even comes before a subpoena would in the legal process. It's like the Crown has decided to press charges, is what we would say in Canada or Britain. In America, they'd say, you know, the state or whatever has decided to press charges. So it's like the process by which the government decides there has been wrongdoing of some kind on the president's part, and then then Congress votes to impeach. And when a president is what is it? What's impeachment? Okay, so impeachment is a thing enshrined in the Constitution of the United States that basically says, here's how you can get rid of a president, or actually, I think it works on anyone in the government who's been elected, if this person needs getting rid of. Now, the process is, the leader of the House Judicial Committee, so whoever is like the head in Congress of like the small group of Congress people who deals with specifically criminal and legal shit, has to first decide we need to start looking at impeachment here. Mm-hmm. So already something's had to have happened that makes this person say, okay, let's start thinking about impeachment.
Right. Take a look at this thing.
Yeah. So then once the House Judicial Leader calls for the impeachment investigation to begin, the Judicial Committee looks at it and then decides on whether or not
there's like charges that can essentially be leveled against the president. Now, at this point, they're not charging the president. They're saying, here's what the charges could be. And the charges are called articles of impeachment. So each article of impeachment would be like a thing that you did wrong. Mm. Once the House Judicial Committee approves articles of impeachment, so they're like, these are the things we've decided the president has done wrong, or that, then they send the articles of impeachment to Congress like a bill. So the articles of impeachment arrive in Congress where they're discussed and debated and the evidence is presented. And then Congress votes to approve the articles of impeachment. Okay, so if a majority of people in Congress, I know, it's like, it's tricky. So basically, a small group of Congress people say, here's what we think the president did wrong. Here you go, Congress. Do you think he did these? Do you think this is worth having a trial over or not?
Right.
So then Congress has to do a majority vote. If a majority of congressmen, so like a simple majority, 50% plus one vote, vote that these are worth having a trial over, then the president is impeached.
Right.
When the president is impeached, it means like he's accused.
Right.
Right? It doesn't mean anything else happens.
Shit's been put on the table. Someone has stood up, pointed the finger.
That's correct. But there's no other consequences at this point.
Right.
Nothing happens to the president. The president doesn't have to do anything. All that happens is now there's a trial.
Right.
And there's a trial in the Senate. So the trial, so now it goes to the Senate, and the Senate is going to have a trial to see if the president gets removed from office or not.
Uh-huh.
Right? So Congress approves the articles of impeachment, and at that point, the president's been impeached. But now the Senate has to try them and see if they're guilty and if their guilt is bad enough to merit removal from office.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
And in the Senate, you need a two-thirds majority, which is a huge majority to get rid of the president. Now, two presidents in history have ever been impeached, Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton. No president has ever been removed.
Right. Like they were both impeached and then resigned, right?
No, that's not true. They were both impeached and then the Senate did not remove them.
Oh.
They were cleared in their Senate trials.
Okay. See, I thought at least Bill Clinton, I thought he was like impeached and then he decided, he's like, oh, rather than do this, I'll step down.
No, that happened to Richard Nixon.
Right.
But Richard Nixon didn't even get to the point where he was impeached. His impeachment articles were in Congress and he was definitely going down. So before Congress voted to impeach him, he resigned. So that he kind of gave up the presidency, and you could never say he got impeached because he didn't, even though people are mistakenly say he got impeached all the time, including like Hillary Clinton this year mistakenly said Nixon was impeached. He was not impeached.
Right.
Yeah. So this,
but was he a crook?
Oh my God. I think like that dude was such a crook. Fucking shepherds walked around holding him, trying to use him to herd their sheep. Come on, that's a dope joke. Somebody's got to give me love for that joke. That joke was awesome.
Yeah. If you loved it, let us know.
Yeah.
Also, if you loved my first time ever trying both a Bill Clinton and a Richard Nixon impression, also let me know.
Yeah.
James, who's the other guy who was impeached?
Andrew Johnson. Nobody.
Yo, baby, I was impeached.
Actually, he almost certainly did not sound like that.
In fact, probably the opposite on purpose.
Yeah. No, for real. Like, he was like, he basically would have hated anyone who sounded like that.
Right.
Super racist. he was on the books.
Right.
Yeah.
And we are.
Yeah. And we are. So if there's one thing I want you, Jamie, and you, the listeners, to take away from this segment of the podcast, it's that Congress impeaches the president with a majority vote, but that doesn't mean anything. It just means that they think there's been wrongdoing and a crime. Also, it's not super hard to get a majority vote in Congress because one party or the other controls Congress. So often it's like a political thing to impeach the president. I mean, it's 100% a political thing to impeach the president.
Right.
But then it's very, very, very hard to remove the president from office in the Senate. Right. So that's why it's never happened. It's hard to do.
Right. And the senators in the states are appointed. appointed?
No. They're elected. They have 6-year terms, and they're every 2 years there's an election for like a third of them. So they all have rolling terms.
Right.
Every 2 years, a third of the Senate gets reelected.
Okay. Just maybe this is the wrong time. Ah, fuck it. No, so that's for good. How does impeachment work in Canada?
This is a great question.
So, that makes me feel nice. This is why I hang out with Richard.
So you're about to learn one of those things you probably wish you didn't know.
Oh, no.
So Canada does not have a formal impeachment mechanism in its constitution. Oh. But what it does have is Canada's constitution is kind of a slapshot document, at least its first constitution.
It was made 30 years ago, wasn't it?
It was updated 30 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But in the Constitution Act of 1867, it deals specifically with, you know, how the government is structured, who gets to put taxes on what, how the electoral districts of the time were broken down, and so, like, sort of stuff to do with governing Canada. But it also has this thing that basically says, we want to have a constitution based on the Constitution of Great Britain.
Right,
which is kind of like if we didn't say it here and you have a question about it, just go look at what England does and we'll do that. That's like basically, it says like, see Great Britain, you know, like that's what it is in the Constitution, so that legally we can look at the British Constitution and just take stuff from there. Now, impeachment was a thing in the UK Constitution, but the UK doesn't actually have a constitution. It doesn't have a document that's like, this is the UK Constitution. It has what's called, in political science, an unwritten constitution, which means that instead of having something like the US Constitution or like the Canadian Constitution, which is like a single document that says, like, here's how
number
this
one.
Yeah, exactly.
Number two. Right.
It just has hundreds of years of documents and laws and legal rulings and precedents that have sort of determined how the government functions, and no one's ever bothered to just collect it all into one thing and formalize it. Right? It starts with the Magna Carta. That's like the first thing in the UK Constitution, which formalized the power of Parliament to make laws that the king had to listen to. Right? And then basically any time a law has been made about how government functions, that's kind of part of the Constitution, and impeachment is one of those things. But what's interesting is impeachment is no longer a part of the UK functioning system. Now, they don't have a constitution, right? So it never got struck down. It just doesn't happen anymore. The last person in the UK was impeached in 1808, right? So that's a long time ago. And nowadays, they're more likely to use... And it was used back in the day because they didn't have great judicial review and they didn't have fair elections, really, or in like universal elections. So there used to be no way to get rid of somebody who was in government if they were making laws that were fucking crazy, other than impeaching them. That was the only way to really get rid of somebody, because people were in the, like, you know, the House of Lords and shit for life, right? Nowadays, you can get their laws struck down by the courts, or, you know, there's elections, you know, there's like lots of...
Right. So there is no formal... There's no line in the Constitution that says this is how to impeach a prime minister in Britain.
There is none. That's
and
correct.
And Canada's Constitution says, see Great Britain's Constitution.
And then Great Britain's Constitution, it's like this moldy old fucking piece of paper from the Middle Ages that nobody uses anymore.
Right.
And what's interesting in Britain, like, very few people ever were impeached. Over the hundreds of years of Britain's entire history, only like less than 70 people were impeached, and of those 70 people, like a third of them, like 30 of them, were impeached in the years between 1640 and 1642, you know, the Cromwell, right before the Civil War years. So, like, it was a fucking old school mechanism that doesn't get used anymore. And because of that, Canada, there is no way to remove a prime minister from office, unless the only way comes through the government. Like, the opposition can introduce a no confidence motion, but the only way they can pass it is if they get enough votes to pass it in the House of Commons. British Columbia has the ability to circulate a petition and create a recall election, which we talked about a bit in our Venezuela episode. So in BC, you can be, if you get a certain number of petition signatures on a petition in like the zone somebody represents, then you have another election to see if they should keep their seat or not, if they're really doing a shitty job.
Right.
But no one else in Canada has that, even though there is lots of discussion to have it in everywhere. Why not?
Didn't that happen? The prime minister can call an early election.
Right. Yeah, the prime minister can call an election whenever they want.
Right, right, right.
But you may recall when we had that shithead Rob Ford as the mayor of Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
There was lots of talk about how there is no way to get rid of a mayor of Toronto if they don't want to resign. You can't do anything to them, right, no matter what they do.
Or what they smoke, and or who they smoke yeah. it with.
Rob really...
Or what they call yeah, people
that's right.
no while matter, they're drunk.
Yeah, exactly. No matter how many fucking times they're in public drunk, spilling tzatziki on themselves. Right. Like you cannot get rid of a mayor if they don't want to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, isn't that nuts?
That is crazy. I don't think it should be easy.
Right.
I don't think that... I think there should be... You know, a complicated set of steps to go through. But there should, it shouldn't be impossible.
Well, this is an interesting thing actually about America, a little piece of historical context I never put together before. But in 1776, when this shit was made, the Constitution only came like 10 years later afterwards, after the Revolution. But, like, it was punk rock to fucking have a constitution of a country, like a coherent single document. Like, that was a new idea. Hmm. And so the fact that they wrote down, oh, yeah, and we have impeachment like Great Britain does, you know, the last dude ever to be impeached in the UK got impeached like 30 years after the US was a thing. But right. it's still a thing in the US because they wrote it down and formalized it.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
That
right?
Is like, very interesting.
Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
And at the time for them, that was like, yeah, we pay everyone in Bitcoin of the late 18th century. Right, it's like, yeah, we got a constitution, man.
Yeah.
We're like a modern ass country. We didn't just make up a bunch of shit that some king said God told him.
Yeah,
yeah.
More and more, yeah. You know, right now I'm working on this play. It's the four Confederation plays with video cabaret.
Right.
It's about Canada's Confederation. If you want to come see it, come check it out. We open on the 17th of June and we run till August.
They're very good plays. They're some of my favorite plays.
They're amazing. They make Canadian history really interesting and fun. And
he's not just saying that; it is true. It's really good.
It's really awesome.
Yeah.
but since working on these plays, I've come to understand what, like, you know, people have always said all my life, Canada's a very young country, and so is the States. But working on these plays, I've come to understand like what that actually means.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, it's a bunch of people who left other governments and fought against other governments for their sovereignty and started over.
Yeah,
and started
that's right.
from zero. Not technology based or anything, but from a political point of view.
That's right.
Yeah, like you said, punk rock of the day.
Yeah,
like,
it was cool, right? It was exciting. It was fresh to do those things. Now it seems kind of staid and stale, but it was cool, man.
Like, yeah.
So just before we move on, I want to go over what it says in the Constitution of the U.S. So,
okay.
Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution says, "The President, the Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors." Right? So, there's been a lot. That's it. That's,
like blowjobs and stuff.
Yeah, like blowjobs. Well, that's all it says, right? This is, you're getting right into the heart of it, because, like, what the fuck does that mean?
Right.
What can you be impeached for? What's an impeachable offense?
High
now,
crimes,
if you
baby.
Take a bribe or you do treason, that makes sense. But high crimes and misdemeanors, that's weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally, that's the whole thing about impeachment in the Constitution, that single sentence I just said.
Right.
Right? Now, because the Constitution is kind of a condensed and pretty concise document, there were these things at the time the Constitution was first written called the Federalist Papers. You might have heard of this. They were written by this really popular rapper named Alexander Hamilton, as well as James Madison and this other guy whose fucking name I forgot, this third dude.
Right.
But James Madison is kind of considered the main writer of the Federalist Papers, because here's my hot take. Here's my hot take of this episode. I hate Alexander Hamilton's writing so much. He's a horrible writer.
Huh.
He wrote a lot. He's famous for writing a lot, but his writing blows. He's just a garbage writer.
Right.
And so James Madison, who was a good writer, wrote a lot of wrote a lot more of the meaningful Federalist Papers than Hamilton. The Federalist Papers, sorry.
Well, I got one question on that.
Yeah.
How does a bastard orphan son of a whore and a Scotsman dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean impoverished by Providence. No.
By Providence.
Providence impoverished squalor. Grew up to be a hero and a scholar. The $10 yeah. founding father without a father got a lot
So the Federalist Papers were kind of like the director's commentary on the U.S. Constitution. It was this series of essays written by the people who wrote the Constitution or who were there when the Constitution was being written to sort of explain to the public what all this shit meant. So there is, so it's like ambiguous that he says...
Kind of like the Explain It to Jamie of...
It's exactly. yeah. Except both of us are better writers than Alexander Hamilton, who was shit.
Right.
So this is the kind of thing that the Federalist Papers were for. So if you read this and you're like, treason, bribery, and other high crimes or misdemeanors, what the fuck is he talking about? There is a Federalist Paper, number 65, about impeachment, where Hamilton says, like, here's what we... And you notice the Constitution doesn't say the leader of the House Judiciary Committee proposes impeachment, and then the House votes on it, and then the trial's held in the Senate. With the head of, and the Supreme, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is like the judge of the trial in the Senate. You notice none of that's in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. It is in Federalist Paper number 65, where Alexander Hamilton's like, this is how we think this should work. And one of the things he says about what you can be impeached for, basically, is that is like anything. It's like whatever Congress decides is like a serious enough moral defect you can be impeached on.
Mm-hmm.
Hamilton's also wrong about most of the stuff. He makes like predictions, kind of. It's like a lot of theorizing. This is part of why I don't like his writing very much.
Right.
Is because he's like, now you may be asking, why doesn't the Supreme Court have the impeachment trial and why is it in the Senate? And he's like, well, and this is his best point. His best point is he's like, I think it's dangerous to let 7 people decide if the president gets removed or not, as opposed to 100 people, right? Which is the Senate. I was like, okay, that's legit. But then he's like, also, you know, the Supreme Court could be really political and it might not have the will to stand up to, like, you know, the political party pressures of the day. Whereas the Senate, you know, they'll be able to, like, you know, go in the face of public opinion and maybe make an unpopular decision.
Right.
Which is the exact opposite of how all of U.S. history has played out. Right. Like, the Senate is totally a partisan body, and the Supreme Court, if anybody is going to stand up and fight against the current of public opinion, like, you know, Brown versus Board of Education that desegregated the schools, Supreme Court, right? Mm. Roe versus Wade legalizing abortion, Supreme Court. Loving versus Virginia, which decriminalized interracial marriage, Supreme Court. Like, this is like what the Supreme Court's almost been for,
right,
in U.S. history, as well as horrible things. But, you know, you can't win them all.
No.
So he was super wrong about that.
Right.
Anyway.
He was also writing a really sick Broadway musical.
Yeah, he was too busy writing hot bars. knocking Thomas Jefferson to make accurate predictions about the government.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, Hamilton, he certainly designed a functioning financial system, but also I hate his writing. It's painful to read, and you could tell he's an asshole from the way he writes. He's a famous asshole, right?
Oh.
He's huge. It seems romantic when it's like Lin-Manuel Miranda, and then you actually read Alexander Hamilton's fucking writing, and you can feel what an annoying man he must have been.
Right.
Like, that's part of why his writing is awful.
But he got a lot done.
I mean, sure.
I think, yeah. I mean, now we're just talking about Hamilton.
But, yeah.
Which yeah. I haven't seen. But right. But it seems that he liked his sort of kind of a punk rocky, I guess, like the rap soul of Alexander Hamilton. Humble beginnings to changing
see,
the world.
See, this is the thing, though. It's like, you're sort of erasing what he was actually like by making him a cool rapper.
Right.
Right? Because in actuality, he has a lot more in common with those angry dudes on the red pill in the way he presents himself, frankly, and like how supremely arrogant and sure of himself he is, even as he is like super incorrect about things.
Uh-huh.
And he's just making it up. He's just guessing.
Right.
Right? That the Senate's going to work like this and the Supreme Court's going to work like this and, you know, they'll be the ones who are noble and they, like, it's like he's just making it up.
Right.
And he was wrong. And he's not, he's a fucking asshole about it while he's doing it.
Right.
Like, it's like, okay, Hamilton.
To be fair, he was a bastard orphan, son of a whore, and a Scotsman dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean.
The greatest city in the world! Okay, let's move on.
I don't want to.
Yeah. So and so you can be impeached for whatever Congress decides you can be impeached for, mm-hmm. basically.
Okay.
Right?
Right. It's a bit of an open definition.
Yeah, that's what I want to take away from this section. So, right. Moving on.
Like blowjobs.
Yes.
Or exactly. How many blowjobs do you think Donald Trump has got since he's become president?
-5.
-5?
I think he's given 5 blowjobs. Yeah. No, I don't know. He doesn't strike me as a particularly virile man. Like, he seems kind of dried up and weird.
Yeah.
I think maybe he used Viagra or something, but I don't think that dude could get it up.
I mean, who knows? I read an article the other day saying that Melania Trump has been having an affair for years.
Huh. That doesn't surprise me.
No.
Have you seen Donald Trump?
No. No, I haven't.
Well, keep yourself pure. Trust me, you don't want to go fucking staring straight into the sun like that.
Yeah, I don't really want to speculate on him and Melania's relationship because I don't know that that's fair. But I think, but clearly, he's said some awful stuff that if Bill Clinton got impeached for a blowjob, then I feel like Donald Trump has lapped him several times.
Well, here's what's interesting. Bill Clinton didn't actually get impeached for blowjob, but we will talk about this. Oh. It's quite clever. And by clever, I mean terrifying.
Oh.
So before we move on, we did something a little different this week where we tried to, in advance, tell people what our topic was going to be and ask listeners to send in questions if they had questions about impeachment. Because we figure, like, you know, Jamie has questions about these things, but you guys probably do too. So we want to answer them if we can.
Yes, sir.
And so we got some really nice questions. So the first one was from my mom. Hi, Mom.
Hi.
And she asked, is impeachment, the word impeachment, does it come from the French word empêcher, which means like to forbid or prevent? And the answer is yes. It's like a Middle English word, impeachment. So we don't use it in colloquial language anymore.
Middle English, that's like where hobbits come from, right?
Yeah, that's right. So it used to be say like, I impeach you from doing this, right? We don't say that anymore. Now this is the only way it's left in our language, but it did come from the French. So nice, good instincts, Ma.
Nice.
Let's see, a couple other responses we have here. So Tom Hill, friend of the show.
And, was on the ISIS episode.
Yeah, guest from episode 10? No, 8.
ISIS.
Yeah, the ISIS episode.
Yeah.
Says, the biggest curiosities for me are always about the next steps if he is impeached. What would happen if Pence got impeached? So he's referring to Donald Trump here. What would happen if Mike Pence got impeached? What's the political likelihood historically another twat Republican would get elected after the previous guy was impeached? Huh. That's great. We'll talk about that as we move on into kind of historical stuff and the future.
Right. And for those of you that are wondering, a twat
is to see
a vagina.
A vagina.
Just that. Yeah.
And Vince Forcier says, I'm interested in the differences and similarities between Nixon, Bill Clinton, and Trump, especially in terms of timelines, when things shifted from I'm innocent to what do we do now? Vince, this is a great question, and in fact, you've hit on the crux of almost every major impeachment trial in U.S. history. Again, we'll get into this in a second. How fast did things roll for each one, and where are we with Trump? Also a good question, and we'll talk about this as we go into the beginning. As we go into the story so far. And do we have another? We have another, right?
We have another one from Evan Hall, who has been an avid listener, and he's actually made a couple suggestions on topics. He says, as this enters a criminal investigation, I think referring to the Trump's thing,
yeah.
How does that work? As in, if impeachment happens and they deem him fit/unfit for his presidency, what are the possibilities for said criminal charges and the likelihood of prosecution? And then what? Because he's the president and law tends to seem a bit mushier for politicians/heads of state. Can he still be president if not impeached, or impeached and not removed from office, but criminally charged, if that's possible?
Right. This is a good question. So, in a row, boom, 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 boom. An impeachment trial is not a criminal trial.
Mm.
You cannot bring criminal charges from, even in the Senate, when they remove him from office, this isn't a criminal trial. They're not charging him with crimes. They're saying, should you be the president or not, right?
Okay. Actually, that sort of answers a question I was going to ask. It's like, if someone is impeached and they find in that trial that it's, you know, guilty of treason,
right?
and they're like, get rid of him, he's no longer president,
right,
then do following charges come?
Yes. The FBI would probably have to bring those charges separately. There'd probably be a special prosecutor for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to take place separately from the impeachment trial. So the impeachment trial has nothing to do with a criminal trial, which would be brought separately.
Okay.
Alexander Hamilton also talks about how that those two things should be separate things, and how getting kicked out of the presidency is a pretty bad punishment for many things.
What was his name?
Alexander Hamilton. Hamilton. oh my God. It's also important, I haven't mentioned this yet, but if the Senate does vote with a two-thirds majority to get rid of the president, to remove the president from office, they can also afterwards vote to prevent that person from ever holding any office ever again.
Whoa.
It's a separate vote, so it's not automatic,
mm-hmm.
right? So even if the president gets removed, the Senate can be like, but you know what? You can get another chance if you want.
Right.
Right? And it's actually much easier to get that vote through. So it's only a simple majority, 50% plus one vote, 51 votes, as opposed to two-thirds to remove, to prevent them from ever getting office again.
I see.
No president has ever gotten that far in the process.
Right.
Yeah.
It's never gotten to that point.
Exactly. Yet. So Evan, the answer is that it depends on if they vote for it or not. He could be prevented from ever holding office again, or he could not. And what was the third part of Evan's question?
Just edit.
Yeah.
Can he still be president if not impeached, open parentheses, or impeached and not removed from office?
Yes.
Yeah, so
if you're impeached and you're not removed from office, you stay the president. And that's happened to all the presidents who have ever been impeached.
Hmm.
Funny enough.
That is really funny.
Yep. Okay. I'm kind of going to combine Tom and Vince's questions, and we'll hit them as we go through. What we're going to do is we're going to cover what's happened in the past when people have been impeached, and what could happen with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I mentioned, there were two presidents in history who have been impeached: Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton. And Nixon had articles of impeachment being voted on in Congress, but he resigned right before they were voted on. So he was never technically impeached, although he was about to be impeached.
Mm.
Now, what happened in all of these cases? Okay, let's go all the way back to our Andrew Johnson, who was impeached in 1868.
Oh, great year.
Yeah, great year.
Canada became Canada.
Well, and this is actually, the timing of this is not insignificant.
Mm.
So, Andrew Johnson was never elected president of the United States. Andrew Johnson was the vice president to a guy named Abraham Lincoln.
Ah.
Now, Abraham Lincoln...
I'm just drawing a bunch of lines in my head right now.
Right. So, okay. Abraham Lincoln was the greatest president in the history of the United States. Basically, by any metric you can use to measure how good a president is, Abe Lincoln was the best one.
Yeah, did you see him in There Will Be Blood?
Oh, he was so good in that.
Yeah.
When Abe Lincoln put the napkin on his head, I was like, man, this guy's good at being a president. Yeah.
If you have a milkshake, I have a milkshake.
I also thought Abe Lincoln was very good in The Crucible.
Amazing.
Yeah, really, really
nice. Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, awesome.
He gets nominated for an Oscar pretty much every time Abraham Lincoln does a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so returning to real life.
Right.
Away from Daniel Day-Lewis Fan Club, which is the podcast we record after this. So Abe Lincoln was a fucking genius. He was so good.
Mm.
Abe Lincoln was... Basically, he became the president right when the Civil War was starting, and he not only succeeded in forging this insane political consensus to pass the Emancipation Proclamation, which, you know, ended slavery in the United States, which he did, he created a consensus across party lines in order to do that, which was an unbelievable act of political skill and maneuvering, which required tons of negotiation and manipulation on his part. That was, like, ingenious. And then he also had a strong hand in militarily directing the Civil War and winning it, right? So he was wildly the best president of all time. He was incredible at being the president of the United States.
Right.
He was also very funny and, like, well-loved by many people. Incredible writer, incredible speaker, as we've talked about on the show before.
Yeah. And Confederation was... Well, I mean, we're going to do an episode on Confederation very, very shortly.
Yeah.
But it was... a huge impetus for that was the fact that U.S. was so unsettled.
That's right.
And Canada was like, we got to get together now.
It was
otherwise
scary.
We could be
it was scary.
Taken over.
And Canada and the U.S. were not on friendly terms at this point. Right? Mm. Canada, U.S. and Britain were enemies.
Yeah.
And Canada was very much part of Britain at this time.
Mm.
Moving on, though. So back in this era, it was much more likely for the president to appoint a vice president who actually like wasn't from his team.
Mm-hmm.
To show that they could kind of honor other viewpoints.
Right.
So when Lincoln sought his second term, he picked Andrew Johnson as his vice president. Andrew Johnson was a congressman from Tennessee who was the only Southern politician to stay loyal to the North when the South split off. So he was kind of represented the South. And Lincoln wanted to show, as it was looking like the South were about to get fucking clobbered, that he was willing to move into the post-Civil War Reconstruction with a Southerner at his side. And even though, you know, there was going to be...
Yeah, it's unifying.
Yeah. But there was going to be a fucking reckoning, but he was like, I'm listening.
Right.
That was kind of what this appointment meant. Now, don't be confused and think that because Andrew Johnson stayed loyal to the North, he was like a nice guy. He was a Southern slave owner who had children with his slaves, you know, illegitimately and was pretty fucking horrible, as we'll see in a second. Anyway, so Lincoln gets shot and killed. Andrew Johnson becomes the president.
Ah.
And it's also worth saying, in the election where the second election where Lincoln was the president, and Johnson was his vice president, Lincoln's party, the Republicans, had a crazy majority in Congress, right? So they had a lot of, like, because, you know, it's like only the North voting, so they got a lot of seats.
Right.
So we move into the post-Civil War. We're trying to figure out how we're going to rebuild America. And all of a sudden, the president goes from being the greatest president of all time and the man who ended slavery to being a pro-slavery Southerner is the president all of a sudden. And he's working with this super hostile Republican Congress who want to punish the shit out of the South for trying to break away.
So wait. Because Lincoln was a Republican.
Right, Lincoln was a Republican back
in the day. Right.
The Republicans and Democrats were almost like, this is not a perfect comparison, but you can almost flip them in your mind for the Civil War era.
Oh.
In terms of like their policies.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird.
We should, well, I know we've talked about doing like a history of American and Canadian political parties. I mm-hmm. think that would be helpful. Interesting.
Yeah, it's cool, right? So suddenly, like, Congress wanted to do stuff like basically say to the South, you don't get any money federally to rebuild yourselves unless you write down that all black people are equal, right? And every time they tried to do stuff like that, Johnson vetoed it because he didn't want that. And he literally said shit like, well, this is going to make black people equal and black people are inferior, so I won't sign this. Like, he was very clear about what he thought about black people, which was that they were slaves and inferior.
Right.
Right? And so, basically, he allowed the South to rebuild in such a way that they could create complete segregation. You might recognize this as what we call the Jim Crow era. The Jim Crow era almost totally exists because Lincoln wasn't alive to help rebuild the country in an equal terms. And because Johnson was the guy in charge during this period, the South could kind of initially reconstitute itself and freeze black people out of equality, even though they weren't technically slaves anymore.
Right.
The Republican Congress was fucking furious with this. They were calling for Johnson's head, basically, all the time. So what they did was pass a bunch of laws about, like, it's pretty technical, but basically, like, Johnson was getting rid of all the people Lincoln had appointed to all the different government agencies and replacing them, trying to replace them with people who were, like, pro-South, right? So Congress passed laws that were like, you have to get a vote from us if you're going to replace people. And then they kind of waited for him to break it, and then they impeached him because he broke it,
right?
So they set him little traps. And then the second, once they were realized, he wasn't going to budge on anything, they created reasons, like impeachment traps, basically.
Right,
once
for
he
him to step
in. Yeah, and then once he broke the law, they impeached him.
Right.
Now, when his trial went to the Senate, he missed getting removed from office by one vote. So he, 2/3 majority, remember. So this is a big majority.
Right.
So he just barely missed getting,
wow.
Yeah. And so, like, and just like to visualize what this would have been like, this is like if Mike Pence ended up as the president with a Democratic Congress, right? Like, this is like, right. That's how weird this was for everybody.
Right.
So then, even though he was impeached, but he didn't get removed, then when it was time for the next election, the Democrats primaried him. So they were like, we're holding a race to see who gets to be our candidate. And he got obliterated. Mm. And he did not. And then he was out of office in disgrace for most of his life until he got a Senate seat again right before he died. Huh. But like, yeah, so that's kind of the story of Andrew Johnson. So there's an important pattern to know here, which is that impeachments have only ever happened when Congress is a different party than the president and they're really in conflict together.
Oh.
Right? Because if you're in...
I see where this is going.
Right? Right?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. Okay.
So that's a really important thing at play. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's how it happened back in the day. The more I read about this, the more depressed I was that Lincoln was killed. Because, mm-hmm. The world would be completely different if Lincoln had been alive to reconstruct the country after the Civil War.
Right, he took everything apart and wasn't alive to put it back together again.
No, completely. Yeah. Like, they had just won the Civil War. He'd just been reelected. Like, right. We're talking, it was six weeks after the election, Lincoln had his first meeting as president and vice president with Johnson the night he was shot. Like, he went from the meeting to the theater and got killed. So, like, they hadn't started the work yet. And wow. It's so disheartening to think that this fucking genius who was going to rebuild an equal America for the first time in America's history was killed and replaced with this idiot who basically, like, let racism exist into our present day.
What are the odds? I mean, this is totally conspiratorial and, like, I don't have enough information to be making, like, accusations or anything. But, like, what are the odds that Andrew Johnson helped kill Abraham
They're
Lincoln?
They're not great, if only because there were four, I think four or three assassinations simultaneously planned for the Lincoln assassination, and Johnson was one of the targets also.
Oh.
Because I think Southerners thought of him more as like
a traitor.
Yeah, exactly.
I see.
Except the dude who, like, John Wilkes Booth and like two other dudes or three other dudes or whatever were all kind of in a pact together to assassinate their targets. Booth killed Lincoln, obviously. One of the other ones was the Secretary of War, and he got shot in the arm but lived. And the dude who was supposed to kill Johnson got wasted and passed out and didn't actually go shoot him.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so maybe there is a conspiracy.
I mean, that's
there.
A bit
I'm
convenient.
Sure somebody's had that theory, but...
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. And
it's back. Forensics wasn't as finely tuned as it is now.
And here's another. Vince Forcier was asking about timelines, right? He's like, how fast does it happen? Where are we in the process?
Right.
Every time a president's been impeached, there's been scandal for years. Right. So it's usually several years of something happening. Like in this case, Lincoln gets killed in I think it's 67. Or 65? Oh my God, I can't remember. But it's like 2 years later that the actual impeachment happens. But once the impeachment happens, it's like a month before they're impeached, and then like another month and they're in the Senate on trial, right? So once the impeachment happens, it moves quite quickly within a month or two. Mm. But it takes years to like build up the case, basically, right?
Right.
Or it's like the conflict has to really brew for a long time before impeachment becomes a real possibility.
Hmm.
Okay, let's move on to Nixon.
Yes.
Right? So we've all heard of Richard Nixon. His scandal was the Watergate scandal. So, I mean, this is my crayon version of the Watergate scandal.
Which is some sort of like turf war between a bunch of rabbits, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, Watergate down?
Yeah, they all talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so in the 1972 election, Nixon, people who were working for the campaign to reelect Nixon, broke into the Watergate Hotel, which is where the Democrats, who were the other party, were like having their convention and like stole documents and bugged people's phones and shit, and they got caught. Mm. So they were like trying to illegally get all this information on the people who were running against them, and they got arrested and caught.
Right.
And it's Nixon. It seems clear that Nixon did not order this, and he did not know this was being done in his name, but he learned about it quite quickly and then moved to cover up how deep the kind of orders went.
Right.
Right. So he's protecting people who were kind of in his inner circle.
Okay.
Right.
That's new information to me. Because yes. I am sort of was under the impression that he was like
right
doing it.
Right. No. So it's not about him ordering the burglary. It's about him covering up. After he learned about it right away, but then people didn't learn about it for a little while longer, right? He moved to protect people who were kind of around him,
right?
And this all kind of the Watergate scandal brewed for 2 years. It wasn't until 1974, 2 years later, that Nixon was actually impeached. And Nixon was impeached because he tried to cover it up, right? And the big kind of smoking gun moment was when people were being tried. Investigated about the Watergate scandal, one of the people who worked for him completely randomly they didn't know this was a total fluke, one of the most incredible moments in US history, revealed that Nixon had been taping the conversations he was having in the Oval Office all along. And no one had ever known this publicly before. This was not public knowledge. So they were like, the people who were investigating the Watergate scandal were like, we're subpoenaing these tapes. You got to give us the Oval Office tapes. And Nixon refused. And it was the back and forth about the tapes that led to the impeachment, right? It was Nixon lying about how much he knew and refusing to give the tapes over that led to them going, okay, we're impeaching you for obstructing justice.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
So that's what, and this is a theme that will emerge with Bill Clinton too. What Nixon was actually impeached for was lying and obstruction of justice, right? So there's this interesting thing that comes. This is what's called a perjury trap.
Right.
And a perjury trap is probably the way you're going to get a president impeached in the future, and the way that both Nixon and Clinton's impeachments worked, which is there's some scandal which, while shitty, is maybe not an impeachable thing for the president. Like, Nixon did not know about Watergate,
right.
But he did learn about it and try to cover it up, right? So then you put Nixon in a situation where he either has to admit he tried to cover it up or he has to lie about it.
Right.
And once he's lied about it, the lying becomes the thing you can impeach him for,
right?
So you put him in a situation where he either has to totally destroy his reputation or commit obstruction of justice and perjury.
Mm-hmm.
And then once there's the no-win situation where it's like he either really gets politically damaged or he walks into a trap where he can be impeached.
Right.
Right?
So it's like if I was to say, Richard, do you wash your hands every time you go to the bathroom?
Yeah. And I would say, I would say, what are you talking about? I didn't deliberately take the sink out of my bathroom because I can only be sexually excited if my hands are filthy with my own waste. And then you,
and then we would impeach
exactly,
you.
Yeah. So that's how the Nixon thing went down.
So specific.
And like I said, yeah. I mean, what are you talking about? It's just a hypothetical situation I came up with off the dome.
Yeah, I guess. I believe
you.
So, do you believe you?
So Nixon's articles of impeachment were because of his lying. And he resigned before they were voted on. So he was not technically impeached, but that fucker was going down.
Mm-hmm.
What else? So Clinton. So we move on to Clinton. So Clinton...
That saxophone-playing ragamuffin.
Yeah, right. The first black president. I can't fucking believe they called him that.
Right. Also, we should preface that you had huge quotes.
Yeah, I was doing big
air quotes.
Yeah. Yeah. So Clinton had this... There was this unpaid intern working in the White House named Monica Lewinsky, and Clinton and her would make, like, sexy eyes at each other and then started, like, making out and doing this weird... This is all... You can Google extremely graphic detail about what Clinton and Monica Lewinsky did.
Right.
They did this is a weird thing. I have to mention this because this was so strange until I thought about it. They did this weird thing where she would give him blowjobs, but he would never come. And I was... Because he was like, because I don't trust you. He'd stop her. But then I realized if you're
trust
the president...
You to do what?
But I realized if you're the president, you maybe want to like keep those sperms where people can't get them. You know what I mean? Like, but it took me a little bit of thinking. I was like, this has never been something I've thought of. But I guess he was worried that she would like take his sperm and impregnate herself.
Well, you hear about that with like rappers and stuff.
Yeah,
like people poking holes in condoms and things like that.
Anyway, so that was weird. You can read about the many, 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 many times that Bill Clinton made out with Monica Lewinsky and groped her boobs, and she gave him 3/4 of a blowjob. If you want, it's like 40 pages of detail.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very graphic. Anyway, so...
pretty sexy.
So they were banging. He kind of like...
I'm into it.
Yeah. Jamie's got some role play. Also, if you... That's unrelated, right. You know, drop us a line if you are interested in seeing Jamie about a role play opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. I got to ask Steph Baptist some questions. Okay,
so... so then she... so he... and then he gets rid of her after a little while, after people start to remark on how much time she's... an unpaid intern is spending with the president.
Right.
She goes and she kind of talks about it to a coworker of her at the Pentagon, where she's working now, and this coworker writes it all down. And then there's also another woman, Paula Jones, who's kind of initiating like sexual misconduct charges against the president. So the lawyers for her hear about this. They get all the Lewinsky info. They subpoena Lewinsky, and then they accuse Bill Clinton of all these things, and he goes on TV and says, "I never did it."
Right.
Right. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Yeah, that's right.
I remember that when I was a little kid.
That was a big thing. This would have been December 97.
And therein is the perjury trap, right?
Exactly.
Right. So he lied, and now all of a sudden.
Exactly. So now once Bill Clinton is lying about doing it, he's in the perjury trap. Right. So, you know, things roll along. He has to testify before a grand jury, which is the difference between a grand jury and a trial jury, just so you know, is that a grand jury is like a jury that decides if someone should be charged with something, and a trial jury is like, are you guilty of this thing or not?
And those of you that aren't from Canada, grand jury is French for big jury.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's your leçon du jour, mes amis américains.
Oui, cirque du soleil.
Yeah. And so finally, Clinton does admit that he had relations with Lewinsky. And then the House impeaches him, and they impeach him again for like perjury and lying and stuff.
Right.
But then he does not get convicted in the Senate, so he does not get removed from office.
Mm-hmm.
Again, and for Vince, so the Lewinsky stuff was happening, like the sexual scandal had been happening for quite a while, but it wasn't until a couple years later that he was actually impeached, and it moved pretty quickly then. So it was like on October 8th, the House approved that he was going to get to do the impeachment, like the investigation. December 9th, they approved what the articles of impeachment were, and December 11th, they impeached him. Mm. So from October 8th to December 11th was how fast the actual impeachment took, but this is like years of a legal case building and right. setting the things in motion and putting the perjury trap in place
right.
to get him, right?
Yeah, you don't want to half-assed accuse a president of something.
Yeah, if you're Bill Clinton hooking up with Monica Lewinsky, you do want...
you want it to be half-assed.
You don't want the whole ass. Yeah. You don't want to be paying that child support.
All right. So is there anything else you want to add on Bill Clinton?
No, that's the history. Those are the kind of historical, quick versions of how the historical impeachments have happened. So let's talk about Donald Trump.
Right.
So, Donald Trump is not, under any circumstances, going to be impeached by a Republican Congress.
Right.
There's no reason for them to do that at all.
Right.
Because they are in power. Right. Right? They're doing the stuff they want to do. Remember, the Speaker of the Congress is Paul Ryan, right? And he has been passing his shit he wants to pass, which is like this ghoul-ass American Health Care Act shit. Mm-hmm. And so while their priorities are being seen through, they don't want to impeach the president. There's no reason for them to do that.
But what wouldn't a reason be that like Mike Pence is a bit more of a reliable politician?
Right. And that's a good question. So... if Donald Trump becomes so unreliable that they need to impeach him, maybe. But I just feel like, why would a party initiate an impeachment against its own president?
Yeah.
Especially because, remember, Donald Trump's... he mobilized people who thought he was an outsider, right? Like, the Washington establishment is going to lose... like the Breitbart InfoWars crowd if they try to impeach him, right? They're going to lose the new constituency of people who think of them as the problem, right?
Yeah. And also I'm now thinking of like longevity, because there's an 8-year cap on a prime minister. If you can control...
there's a 4-year cap on a president. Right. Already he only has 3 years left until he has to go for election again.
Exactly, but you can only run twice.
Right.
Right. So, right. So 8 years max, you can be president of the state.
That's right.
And if they can manage to control Donald Trump enough, they actually might be in a good position to make Mike Pence president.
Yeah.
8 years from
they
now.
They have no reason. No, they have no reason.
They have a 16-year they have control.
They have no reason to impeach him because they're getting everything they want.
Right.
Like, Donald Trump is an idiot, and he'll sign whatever you put in front of him.
Mm.
And he has enacted the Republican agenda. It's not a Donald Trump agenda. He's not doing stuff they don't want him to do. Like, leaving the Paris Climate Accord is a fucking Republican thing. Like, the American Health Care Act is a Republican thing. The tax reform they're talking about right now, these are all Republican things.
Right.
Right? They don't want to impeach him.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if the Democrats kick some ass in the 2018 midterm elections and take back the House, we could see an impeachment. I could see an impeachment trial.
Right.
It would be hard, like it would be tricky, because they'd only have 2 years to do it before the election campaign started, right? I mean, technically, the election campaign is already on, right? Donald Trump has called the election, like the campaign has started for 2020, which allows him to hold rallies and things like that and weird shit like that.
Right.
But like, they'd have a very short timeline in which to impeach him, and why would they do it?
Right.
Right. Are they going to, they'd only want to do it, they might do it for points, I guess, like to energize the Democratic base, to show them they're getting rid of Trump and to make the Democrats look effective, which they have not been doing a very good job of so far. But I don't know. If in 2018 the Democrats take over the House, they only have 2 years.
Right.
Will Donald Trump stop them from doing enough stuff in 2 years to warrant an impeachment? Maybe. But then you get Mike Pence, right? Because he's the vice president.
And so there is no, like, populace, no real capacity for the populace to call for an impeachment.
No.
It has to come from Congress.
You have, and not just the Congress. It has to come from the House, the Judicial Committee.
Right.
And that's appointed by the majority party. Right now, the leader of the House Judicial Committee is a guy who I refuse to call anything other than Bob Goodlatte, although his name is probably Goodlate or something, but it's spelled Goodlatte, and that's how I'm saying it. And this is the dude who, he's considered a pretty straight shooter, but he's like a Republican, like a career Republican. Unless this guy wants to impeach Donald Trump and is convinced it's a good idea, it's not going to happen. I don't see it happening.
Right.
That being said, if the Democrats get in and they do want to impeach him, it would be completely trivial to impeach Donald Trump.
Right.
Because he lies so often that to catch Donald Trump, you and I could catch Donald Trump in a perjury trap on Twitter today. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It would be so trivially easy to get rid of him. But
right.
The question is it fucking worth it when the long result of all of that? I mean, it would be fun as fuck if Donald Trump was in history forever as being the only president to ever be actually removed from office and then also forbidden from ever holding public office again. I think that would be fucking metal.
Yeah.
Like, I would be down to, like, just put that in the history books just so that we can put this behind us.
Right.
But, yeah, even if the Democrats take over Congress, they'll still have Mike Pence as the president.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, then I mean,
they'd have to impeach Pence. If the Democrats take over Congress,
mm-hmm.
The third person in line to take over the presidency is the Speaker of the House. So if they could impeach Donald Trump and Mike Pence, then they can have a Democrat as the president.
Right. Wow. Perjury Trap sounds like a horrible sequel to The Parent Trap.
Yeah, it does sound horrible, doesn't it?
Wow.
Anyway, that's okay. Where I think we're at. I don't think it's going to happen. Certainly not. Definitely not with a Republican Congress. In 2018, if the Democrats take over,
it
maybe.
Might be, but it would mostly be figure. It would mostly just be a show of.
By the time they impeach Donald Trump and Mike Pence, it's the time for an election.
Right.
I think their resources would better be used letting Sad Dick Donnie sit around in the White House looking like a fucking idiot and just roasting on him,
right?
Like just dunking on him at every opportunity, and then leveraging
and then
him
then
for momentum
election.
Into 2020 and
right,
just
right.
Obliterating him. Like, I think that's what I would do if I was in charge. I wouldn't waste my time
trying to get
a majority to impeach him, except for the fun history. The history footnote thing
well,
is the best reason.
Well, there's also a certain precedent, right? Like, precedent for getting rid of a president. But, like, it's like, in future, I don't want anybody to be able to say, well, why am I getting impeached? Donald Trump didn't get impeached, and he did this huge, long list of things.
Well, let's be clear, though. The mechanism we have to get rid of politicians who are bad is elections.
Right.
That's what it's for. That's right. What an election's for. Impeachment is like...
emergency, pull the ripcord, like, and we got to get this guy out of here.
And that's the theory behind it. In practice, it's like, really, it is used as a political weapon.
Yeah.
Right? Like... who gives a shit if Bill Clinton got a blowjob? It sucks for him. It's not very nice.
Right.
He probably has some talking to do with Hillary.
For sure.
But is that something that should get him removed from the presidency? No.
Right.
And yes, maybe lying, and it sucks that he lied about it. And if you're the president, you shouldn't lie about shit like this, because you will get, that's like you're setting yourself up for a perjury trap and you could get impeached.
Right.
But like, isn't that just a fucking distraction from politics? Yes. But it is also politics, right? Mm-hmm. Like, now they can say forever he got impeached. You have to be pretty educated to understand, well, I don't give a shit about that. I want to judge him on his policies. Now, maybe you don't like his policies, and that's fine, and the way he governed. That's fine. But the impeachment was a clown show.
Right.
Yeah, with Johnson, the impeachment made more sense. That's one of the only ones where it was working the way it should, where Johnson was not working with the Congress.
Right.
Because... he was not elected, and he also wasn't elected, right? Like, those are, that's a situation where an impeachment makes sense.
Right, right, because he was just letting the government be stagnant.
So it's good the mechanism's there. Like, if Donald Trump gets, you know, if he chokes on a fucking well-done steak and dies, and then Mike Pence is in, and suddenly Mike Pence is doing all kinds of horrible shit that the Republican Congress doesn't even like, then it's good the Republican Congress can get rid of him.
Right.
You know?
But they're not going to get rid of Mike Pence.
No, they're not. They're definitely not going to get rid of him.
No, Mike Pence.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
That's kind of the situation.
Wow.
The elections. That's what democracy is about. Elections.
Right.
It should not be... that's the mechanism we have to get rid of him. And that's... it's... at this point, it's as likely... that it's more likely that the election is going to happen before the impeachment's ready. That's my guess.
Right.
Huh. All right.
Okay. That's very interesting. A little bit... shitty.
I think there's a fantasy.
Everyone wants a do-over on that election.
And everyone keeps waiting. I think that, again, I've said this about the Russia thing before, I'll keep saying it. Obviously, there is some... Donald Trump has violated what were supposed to be the normal diplomatic channels in communicating with Russia. I think there's a chance that Donald Trump has some sort of financial relationship with Russia, so he maybe is getting money to look the other way on something or whatever. I mean... is it so different than a bank paying Hillary Clinton and Obama hundreds of thousands of dollars in speaking fees?
Right.
After Obama negotiated a huge bailout for them, you know,
question mark.
Maybe those guys also committed a form of treason. You never know. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, but I think that like the Democratic obsession with Russia is a desire for a do-over. Like, I think it's a desire for a do-over. I think they want to be saved from this idiot president, when in fact, a huge part of the reason they lost was because Hillary Clinton's campaign was completely incompetent. Completely incompetent.
Well, I've wondered recently, because historically, the Republicans have been the really, like, scared of Russia team.
Right.
And so I've wondered if the Democrats have been leaning a bit harder on that, because... it's most likely to get, like, old Republican blood boiling of, like, remember how scared of Russia you were,
right,
40 years ago? Like, let's go back to that. Your guy is in bed with them.
Well, I think there's a lot of things happening here. I think there's a deep desire to not admit that the neoliberal consensus is very much failing America. I think this is also what the focus on the racism of Trump voters is about. Obviously, there's a hugely racist and racialized element to Trump's discourse that a lot of his followers adopt because they're ignorant and racist.
Yeah.
But there's as many people who voted for Trump probably who don't give a shit about what he says about race, at the very least, and at worst, actively disagree with him, but who... are being squeezed economically so hard by the neoliberal consensus that Hillary Clinton represents that they just don't see, they cannot bring themselves to vote for her. They cannot bring themselves to vote for their jobs and their health and their families to bear the weight of all of Hillary Clinton's rich friends making more money. Mm. They can't stomach it anymore. And their vote for Trump was a vote against the neoliberal consensus. And I think that the Democratic base, most of them, don't want to even consider that. So they fix on the racism and they fix on the Russia thing. Right. And also Hillary Clinton's campaign was fucking incompetent. Like, the more stuff that comes out about how that campaign was run, the more horrifying it is to think that those people completely lost this election that was theirs to win.
Right.
They should have won it. Anyone could have won it. Mm. Except Hillary fucking Clinton.
Right.
That's horrible.
Mm.
Like, the way that the contempt that they showed the Midwestern states that they thought were theirs, actual contempt. Like, they did not listen to those people. They did not listen to the people in those states who said, we need help here.
Right.
These people need to know that you are there for them. They ignored those people, and those states flipped. Barely. They barely flipped. If right. any work had been done, Hillary Clinton would be sitting in the fucking White House, and she gets to live the rest of her life knowing she fucked that up. But she hasn't learned the lesson.
Right.
Anyway, I'm not over it.
Take that, Hillary.
I'm not over it.
Wow. Okay, I think I've learned enough.
Yeah, that was a lot.
I wish that in grade 10 social studies class, I was able to say things like that. Mr. Brockapew?
Yeah.
I've learned enough.
Yeah.
I don't care to know any more today.
Yep. Okay, well,
wow.
That's us on impeachment.
Yes.
If you've heard something that you react to, you want to know more about,
yep.
Drop us a line. We have an email, explaintojamie@gmail.com. We have a SoundCloud, explaintojamie. Twitter @explainjamie. Instagram, explaintojamie. A Facebook page, explaintojamie.
We're all over the internet. If you're in Atlanta, go check out King of Pops. He makes delicious gourmet popsicles that are... oh, just the best on a hot summer day.
I could go for a long lick on the impeachment stick right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, baby. I did not have sexual relations with that. I don't know why I made
popsicle.
Him. Yeah, I don't know why I made him like Southern.
Yeah.
I can't
do he is one. Southern.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess he is.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
There you go.
I'll have it all polished up in the next couple episodes. Guys, thank you very much for listening. If you like this episode, please share. As Richard said,
some people know about it.
Yeah, all the avenues that Richard just listed are available to you. At the very least, just tell your friend, hey, I was listening to this cool podcast, and it made the world a bit clearer than it was before. Until next time, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
This has been Explain It to Jamie. Woo!